From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, time traveling with physicist Ronald Mallett. Here's what's happening. Well, you remember last winter we talked about the snow that was really hitting the East Coast. I mean, really big. Buffalo, for example, in some spots, 7 feet of snow. Well, guess what? Here we are moving into August pretty soon, and they've got two piles of snow still in Buffalo. This was in an abandoned lot where the trucks dumped it after the November storms buried neighborhoods out there. The crews didn't have any place else to put it. Two huge piles. It's melting down, but we're moving into August. Still snow in Buffalo. Several earthquakes shaking Oklahoma over the past couple days as state experiences a sharp increase in the frequency of tremors linked to what they say wastewater disposal from gas and oil drilling, including fracking. Three of the quakes measured above a magnitude 4, with a 4.5 earthquake centered just north of Crescent, which is roughly 45 miles north of Oklahoma City. That's pretty good size, 4.5. Twitter shares fell more than 11% in extended trading after the microblogging company said its number of monthly average users grew at the slowest pace since it went public in 2013. Well, you can still sign up for Twitter at coasttocoastam.com. Maybe that'll help their numbers go up. Apartment rents are up. Prices for restaurant meals are up. Haircuts, gym memberships, a cup of coffee. For American consumers who have become used to flat or even falling prices for several years, an unfamiliar sight has emerged in many corners of the economy. Inflation is ticking up. Let's check in with our expert, Catherine Austin Fitz. Catherine, it is ticking up, not really fast, but it is going up, up, up. What's going on?
Yeah, it is ticking up. Well, you have the economy is picking up, George. And, of course, we've seen energy has dropped tremendously, and that gave everybody relief, not just in the price of the gas they were paying, but in relief of the cost of all the different things they're consuming. So we've gotten a little bit of a, inflation has been headed up steadily in many price categories, but we did get a bit of a reprieve, and I think that reprieve is coming to an end.
I think so, too. Housing seems to be down these days. What's going on there, Catherine?
Well, it depends on where you are, George.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a very tricky market. I'm sitting in San Francisco today, and of course, it's stronger than you can imagine.
Ooh,
out here.
Sure is.
So, but it really depends on where you are. If you're in a local economy that's strong, it's up. And I think we're coming into a presidential election, and you're watching the administration do tremendous things to infused federal credit. You know, it's very driven by federal credit. So I think the housing market is going to be relatively strong. At the second half, at the end of the first half, we had home builders up 6% with the S&P flat. So I think there's going to be a lot of political activity making sure the home building market is relatively strong over the next year.
All right. Thanks, Catherine. Catherine's website, solari.com, S-O-L-A-R-I.com. A dentist who killed a lion in Zimbabwe says he regrets shooting the well-known animal and insists that he thought he was on a legal hunt. Police in Zimbabwe have arrested already two people over the death of Cecil. That's the country's most famous lion, and they say the dentist may also face poaching charges. He's from Minnesota, said he relied on professional guides to find a lion and obtain the necessary permits. He also said he only found out that the lion's identity at the end of the hunt. The American tourist, who is believed to have paid $50,000 to go on the hunt, is said to have shot the animal with a crossbow and a rifle. Now, my granddaughter is an animal rights activist, Ari, and she posted this tonight. I want to read it to you. So frustrating to see this happen. I respect communities that reserve hunting for their means of food, but this was cruelty. I believe trophy hunting like this is completely wrong and disgusting. This was a strong and beautiful wild animal that was killed for the enjoyment of a Minnesota dentist. If these animals are continuously murdered for fun, future generations will not be lucky enough to admire the beauty of these wild animals. $50,000 was spent to brutally kill an animal whose death did not serve any form of benefit to this dentist. And then she says, if you're a dentist and have over $50,000 to spare, why not use it to assist in aiding children's dental work in Africa?
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Ari. Wind turbines could be forcing native bird populations into decline in the Great Plains, a government study says, raising new concerns about the long-term effects of renewable energy on wildlife there. Listen to this one. Interplanetary travel could be a step closer after scientists have now confirmed that an electromagnetic propulsion drive, which is fast enough to get to the moon in 4 hours, not days, 4 hours, actually works. Let's check in with our science advisor, Robert Zimmerman, on this one. Whoa, what do we know about this?
Well, George, I hate to
burst
your bubble.
No.
But I've looked at the paper. I've looked at the results. They didn't confirm anything. In fact, one of the first lines in their abstract states, our test campaign cannot confirm or refute the claims of the EM drive. They did a test. There is a mystery here. There is an engineering mystery. And NASA had the same result, which puzzled scientists. They're getting a small amount of thrust when they are shooting microwaves back and forth within a chamber. And according to all the laws of physics, you shouldn't get any thrust out of that chamber. The conservation of momentum, you put things in, the same amount of momentum comes out. They do get a little thrust. They don't really understand why. But this result just demonstrated once again they're getting a result they don't understand. Does it mean we have an engine that could get us to the planets in four hours? No, we're not even close to that from this. There is a mystery here which scientists and engineers have to track down because there might be something there for us, but we're very far from having.
Well, why's the story all over the internet that we're ready to go?
Well, you got it. We're ready to go. This is people's hopes and dreams. People want to go to the moon. They want to go to Mars. They want Star Trek to come true.
Yes.
But, you know, reality, we are humans. We have to figure out how to make reality work for us. We can't fantasize how it should happen. And so it's going to take time. I don't think this is the solution, to be very honest.
Well, Robert's a website. That's got the solution. BehindTheBlack.com. Thanks, Robert. Scientists say they've identified the remains of four men who were among the early leaders of Virginia's Jamestown settlement. Jamestown was the first successful British colony that gave rise to modern America. The bodies were exhumed back in November of 2013 in a church where Pocahontas married Captain John Rolfe. That was in 1614. And a story we have at coasttocoastam.com. It is in the highlights. Take a look at the picture. Gosh, I wish Lloyd Pye were still alive to look at this and his Star Child project. UFO watchers are in a tizzy over the discovery of an ancient skeleton with an elongated skull that resembles an alien. The humanoid skeleton was unearthed from a site in Russia and is being heralded as proof that aliens visited Earth thousands of years ago. However, archaeologists don't share the same view as alien hunters, insisting that the skeleton belonged to a female from a tribe that used to bind the head to make it grow out of shape. You make up your own mind. Look at the picture at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, Peter Glidden joins us, part of the criticalhealthnews.com team. We're going to talk about things that could help you next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We'll have Peter Glidden back with us at an expanded time because there's just so much information to cover with Peter. He's a naturopathic physician. He's a health talk show host by himself. He's a lecturer. He's been on the circuit since 2009, exposing failings of some conventional medicine and spearheads a much-needed focus on the benefits of naturopathic therapies, which I'm a strong believer on. He's part of the criticalhealthnews.com team. Peter, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me, George. It's a big, big, big pleasure of mine to be here. I've been a lifelong fan. I've been a UFO file since I was 9 years old. I've been following everything that you guys do, so it's a real pleasure for me to be
Well,
here.
I'm looking
Thanks
forward
so
to this, and I'm looking forward to some longer future programs with you too, Peter. Hey, I wanted to get your reaction on a story that we're going to be covering in depth in a few days, but it seems that a lot of naturopathic doctors are getting murdered. Have you been following that by any chance?
Yeah, it's a funny thing. You know, I don't know whether it's coincidence or whether it's, you know, some funny business going on behind the scenes, but it seems like there's too much of it happening to be just, you know, chalked up to coincidence. So I don't know, George, you think am I going to have to buy a bulletproof vest or what?
Well, listen, you're very outspoken. I'd look over your shoulder because you know, I'm taking this seriously, Peter, that these doctors were very controversial. Some of them apparently, you know, had the feds looking over their shoulders because of some of the things and practices that they had. You know, Big Pharma doesn't want remedies for certain things. I'm convinced of that. So be careful. My God, yes.
Well, you know, we will be careful. We are careful. And, you know, and at the same time, the truth has to be told. And one of the biggest myths that we're suffering from now in the, you know, the not-so-free world is the myth of conventional medicine. We've kind of been socialized over the last 100 years to believe that our medical doctors know what's best for us. And our medical doctors don't know what's best for us. Your medical doctor, your MD, may be the nicest person that God ever created, but they don't know what's best for you. They only know what they've been trained in. And as it turns out, what they've been trained in is just one tiny piece of the pie of medical science. But the pharmaceutical industry, the American Medical Association, the health insurance industry, the hospital industry, has convinced everybody around the world that the only people that own the entire domain of medicine have MD after their name, right? And everybody else is the back of the bus alternative quack. And it's nonsense. And so those of us in the quote-unquote alternative community have to be outspoken because, you know, we're the low man on the totem pole. And the system is broken, and somebody has to speak up about it. So I really do hope that they get to the bottom of this because, you know, it's a big deal.
Peter, I've always equated this almost like an automobile, that when it breaks down, you, of course, bring it into the shop to get repaired, as we do to modern medicine. I mean, if you have to go to the hospital, go to the hospital. If you have to see that doctor if you're sick, go to the doctor. But what I think about naturopathic physicians and that entire field is fix the car before it breaks down. Don't let it break down.
Well, yeah, and there's an important distinction to understand here that very few people get. And, you know, once you get this, then things become very clear for you, right? So medical doctors, there's room in the place for everything, but MDs are not trained in medicine, right? Nobody's trained in medicine. Medicine is a vast domain. MDs are trained in one particular piece of the medical pie. It's called allopathic medicine. And allopathic medicine espouses a reductionistic philosophy. So MDs are trained in a reductionistic method. Reductionism focuses and leans on Newtonian physics. And Newtonian physics argues if you can't measure it, it doesn't exist. So since nobody's ever dissected the soul out of the human body, you're seeing it with a CT scan or an MRI, it doesn't exist. And to the MD, trained in reductionistic medicine, consciousness itself is a function of biochemistry. There's no such thing as the spirit. There's no such thing as the vital force. There's no such thing as the intelligence of the body. So to an MD trained in reductionistic allopathic medicine, the human body is basically a bag of biochemicals waiting to break. And so when the body does break, ironically, it's not the medical doctor's job to cure or to fix the problem. It's the medical doctor's job to manage the symptoms with drugs. And that's exactly what happens in the treatment of chronic disease. Now, look, you know, we have to give every dog its due. The wheelhouse of the MDs being trained in reductionism is surgery when it's necessary, trauma care, and a handful of infectious diseases. That's where they excel. I mean, the strides that have been made in surgery over the last 50 years are just this side of miraculous. But for most of the conditions that most people go to the doctor for, most of the time, high blood pressure, heartburn, type 2 diabetes, arthritis, fibromyalgia, insomnia, depression, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, MD-directed medicine based on allopathic reductionism doesn't work. It doesn't work. It does not work in the treatment of chronic disease. It's the wrong dog for the hunt. Now, in a perfect world, we wouldn't let the medical doctors treat chronic disease. I mean, we don't let chiropractors do open heart surgery, do we? And nor should we. But it's far from a perfect world because we don't have a free medical market, George. We don't. And when we don't have a free medical market, the MDs, you know, it's a self-policing, self-regulating industry. They get away with murder. Nobody holds their feet to the fire. The pharmaceutical industry's right. They're too big to fail. And so we go down and down and down. Everything gets worse. Alzheimer's is accelerating. Autism is accelerating. Obesity is accelerating. Everybody's sick, and it's getting worse. And it's not because of corruption. It's not because, you know, the system needs to be managed better and the insurance companies need to pay for more and Obamacare is the best thing. It's got nothing to do with it. The billion-pound gorilla sitting in the middle of the medical world on planet Earth right now is the simple, unrecognized notion that MD-directed, allopathic, pharmaceutical-centrist medicine for chronic disease, it's a failed methodology and it must be abandoned.
Yeah, I think you're right. I just spent the weekend.
Don't get me started.
I will. I just spent the weekend with a friend of mine. He's in a nursing home because that's the only place that he could go for the care. But he just had his entire hip replaced, Peter, because it was
right. It
was full of cancer, full of cancer.
Yeah.
And the oncologist and the surgeon said, this is spreading. His name's Jay. And they said, Jay, the best thing we can do for you is just to take your entire hip out. And so they've replaced it with a titanium hip. He can't walk yet. It's been 9 days. He's in this nursing home. And he was telling me, he says, George, I don't know what I did wrong. You know, I thought I ate well. I just don't know what I did wrong, and I'm listening to this, and I'm, you know, tears are starting to roll down my eyes when I'm talking to him, Peter. What did he do wrong?
Well, I think I can tell you exactly what he did wrong, but I think the bigger question is, why do we put up with incompetence like this, right? We've given the MDs exclusive control over the delivery of medicine for the last 100 years. Right? The chiropractors are in the back seat, the homeopaths are in the back seat, the naturopaths are in the back seat. Everybody else is, you know, called out onto the carpet as a back-of-the-bus alternative quack with substandard training and you know, ineffective treatments. It's nonsense. Meanwhile, right, the people who are in charge of our health care, while they have been the owner of the domain of medicine, while they have been in charge, cancer accelerates, all types of cancer. Breast cancer right now, there's a 78% failure rate in treatment for breast cancer after 5 years. Colon cancer, 89% failure rate after 5 years. Throat cancer, 96% failure rate. Ovarian cancer, 72% failure rate. That's what my mother died from, God rest her soul. No, mind that, and I'll take that back. My mother died from chemotherapy. She didn't die from ovarian cancer. But the fact of the matter is, while we have given complete, utter, and total control over the delivery of medicine to conventional, allopathically trained MDs, we're getting sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker, and nobody bats an eyelash. For goodness sakes, George, the leading cause of death in the United States, 783,936 people a year, is MD-directed medical treatment. And, you know, nobody bats an eyelash. We continue to pay medical insurance premiums. It's an out of control.
It really is. You talk about MD, muscular dystrophy. We used to watch Jerry Lewis on the Labor Day weekend every year. God love what he has done, but he tried to raise money to fight MD, and I don't think we're any closer with all the hundreds of millions of dollars they were raising, maybe even more than that.
Well, it's ironic, you know, because Dr. Wallach published, he went to China. Dr. Wallach went to China, published an article which showed the link between muscular dystrophy and cystic fibrosis. He proved it. Wallach also proved that cystic fibrosis was could cross species lines. It wasn't a human-only illness. And Wallach could turn on and turn off cystic fibrosis in rhesus monkeys at will, by withholding or giving the pregnant mothers of the monkey babies the trace mineral selenium, right? So those of us involved with science-based, clinically verified medical nutrition actually have leverage on illnesses like this.
All right, Peter, hold on for a second.
Dr. Wallach took his information to Jerry Lewis.
Oh, that's right.
Jerry Lewis about the research that he did in China, and a year later, Jerry Lewis was fired.
They dumped Jerry, exactly. We're going to be back in a moment. Peter Glidden was with us. We've only got him for this hour. We're going to take your phone calls. He's with criticalhealthnews.com. They do have a number set up for you tonight at 1-855-949-RADIO. And we will be back in a moment with Peter Glidden as we take your phone calls, as we talk about your health. In the next hour, of course, physicist Ron Mella joins me as we talk about time travel and his obsession with time travel. You'll find out why. And welcome back with Peter Glidden from the CriticalHealthNews.com team. Peter, just how much of this is common sense? Don't overeat, watch what you eat, exercise, supplement your body when necessary, and just use your brain.
Well, yes, but the thing about it is there are some key fundamental points here that are not inside the realm of common sense yet. There's stuff that, you know, Dr. Wallach has uncovered with his research. There's stuff that we know that a lot of people don't know. And when you need those pieces, they're the keystones to your health. You need 90 essential nutrients. 90 essential nutrients, 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, and 2 essential fatty acids. If you don't get all 90 essential nutrients, and you can't do it by eating food, you can't do it, it's impossible, it's not in the food, you have to take the right stuff, George, in the right amount. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at it. Last year, right, we took, I don't know, how many billions, tens of billions of dollars of nutritional supplements were sold in the United States, and everybody's still sick. Why is that? Because that you weren't doing the right stuff in the right amounts.
That's a good point.
You know, you're doing it in piecemeal fashion, and then, you know, people are unwittingly eating food that's gumming up the works, and they think it's healthy. So we really need education here, and the sticking point, the bottleneck is that, you know, there's less than 100, in my estimation. I've been doing this for 26 years. There's less than 100 physicians, in my estimation, that actually have a clue about what people need to do to really get on the other side of a chronic health.
How did you get involved?
So you're right. Most of it is common sense, but there's a couple of key pieces that people need to be brought up to.
Well, that's a good point. How did you get involved in all this, Peter?
Oh, for goodness sakes. Years ago, right? I'm a senior at University of Massachusetts in Amherst in the pre-med department.
Great school.
And I got really sick. I mean, I got really sick. I was in bed for 2 weeks. I was languishing. I had fever and chills and aches and pains that came and went. And I went to every medical doctor and their brother, and nobody could figure out what was wrong with me, right? Nobody. As fate would have it, there were two, this is 1987, right? No, 1987. There were two naturopathic doctors in the entire state of Massachusetts at the time. One was in Boston and one lived in the same town that I lived in. Go figure. Now, George, I'll admit it, I was an arrogant pre-med student. I did not know what a naturopathic doctor was, but I was sure he was a quack. But I had nothing to lose, so I figured I'll go and see the guy. So I'm carried into his office, literally. I got an arm over two buddies of mine. I'm in the middle. They're carrying me up the stairs to the guy's office.
My God.
He puts me on he's like an old-fashioned country doctor. It was like, talk about time travel. I thought I'd gone back, you know, 20 years, 50 years. So anyway, he puts me on his exam table, pokes around, asks me some questions, draws some blood, asks me some more questions, and gives me two little pellets under my tongue of a homeopathic medicine. And then he waited for like 5 minutes. Nothing happened. He scratched his chin, pulled out this big book from his shelf, opened it up, asked me a bunch of other questions, and then gave me a different homeopathic medicine. Two little pellets of medicated sugar pellets medicated with a homeopathically prepared substance from a plant. About 2 minutes after that stuff was in my mouth, my whole body started shaking, and I ran to the bathroom, threw up, I don't know how much, man, a couple of ounces of bilious nasty sludge, and I had the distinct experience that when that stuff left my body under the influence of the homeopathic medicine, I felt like a Venetian blind had been unfurled from my toes to my head, and I was cured. In that moment, I was cured. I was carried into the guy's office. I walked out of it of my own volition. I went home. I slept for, you know, like 18 hours, right? And I woke up the next day, and I was born again, man.
Wow.
Into the undiscovered.
How did he know, Peter? How did he know what to do?
Well, he was a really talented homeopathic doctor, and he had a really good skill set. You know, he was asking me the right questions, trying to discern the appropriate medicine to support my body's ability to fix itself. And he hit the nail on the head the second time, and man, it was miraculous. I've had three miraculous healings in my life. And I got to tell you something, George, you wouldn't believe the things that I've seen people recover from. And you know, I've been doing this for 26 years. I graduated in 91. We started doing clinical work in 1988. And, you know, in 26 years of clinical work, you start to get a clue. But I have to, I got great results in my career. But since I've met Dr. Wallach, since I've been
He's one of a kind.
I tell you, George, Wallach has forgotten more about pathophysiology than most doctors know.
That's true.
Since I've been applying his therapeutics, the things that I see people recover from, I didn't think that could happen.
He's got such
Dr.
a
Wallach's
passion.
Dr. Wallach's therapeutics surpass in effectiveness anything I'd previously been exposed to, and it's an outright honor for me to be mentoring with him. He's a remarkable human being.
Let's go to the phones. They are lining up for you, Peter. Let's go to the Bronx first. Julie's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Julie. Good morning.
Hi, George. Hi, Peter. I had my gallbladder removed in March, and it had already started to become infected when they got in there, and it was also a one-inch diameter stone that was blocking the exit, and I'm still having the same excruciating pain that I had before the surgery, and I looked online myself and saw about the sphincter of Oddi syndrome and that my liver could maybe be producing too much bile in my stomach. I saw my gastroenterologist. He had me go for an MRI. It came out normal. But he said that I might have to live with this. And yet I can eat one bite of food or drink water, and the pain just increases. And it's just so excruciating. I don't know what to do about it.
Okay, so I want to just not overlook the obvious here, right? So you've been paying for medical insurance premiums your entire life to give you access to conventionally trained medical doctors when you need it, and you needed it.
Yes.
And so you went, you got a surgical procedure, probably saved your life, but then after the surgical procedure, you still have pain.
Yes.
And they don't have any answer for that, right?
Right.
And also, you were not put on board nor educated with any type of a diet or any type of a realistic therapeutic that would have prevented the gallstones from forming in the first place. You don't get gallstones because you have a gallbladder, right?
Right.
You don't get breast cancer because you have a breast. You don't get arthritis because you have joints. These things happen because there's a facultative breakdown in your body's ability to maintain the structure and function of any particular organ. So the main thing that we think about when we think about gallbladder malfunction, especially stone formation, is a deficiency in the trace mineral selenium. Because in order to have healthy bile, in order not to get stones, you need to have healthy bile. In order to have healthy bile, you need to have a healthy liver. In order to have a healthy liver, you need 90 essential nutrients plus extra selenium, and you need to not be eating food that's whittling away at the health of the body. So there are 10 foods that you, me, and the man in the moon needs to stop eating. There are 10 foods that everybody needs to stop eating. You need to eliminate those foods from your diet and give your body the 90 essential nutrients that it needs, and then extra selenium for gallbladder support. And the fundamental foundation that all of these therapeutics are built upon is the holistic belief that the human body is endowed with an intelligence, that the human body is inhabited by a spiritual force. The human body has intelligence. The human body is smart. The human body grew itself all by itself from a single cell into the magnificent manifestation of you. So holistic physicians argue, you know what? If the body could do that, it probably knows how to maintain itself. It probably knows how to regulate itself. So a holistic therapy is intended to support and promote the body's ability to optimize its structure and function. So your body knows how to fix itself. Your body knows how to have a healthy sphincter of Oddi. Your body knows how to have a healthy gallbladder, right? They took it out, so you're out of luck there. Your body knows how to have a healthy liver, et cetera, et cetera. So in foundation medical nutrition for the masses, which is what we are proponents of, foundation medical nutrition for the masses, it's simple. Everybody eliminates the 10 bad foods. Everybody gets on board with the 90 essential nutrients. And in your case, it would be a couple of extra bottles of
Peter,
rattle
off real quickly some of those foods that people should just stay
away
from.
Well, this is when you're going to stop liking me, George. Okay, you ready?
All right.
Okay. Wheat, barley, rye, and oats.
Really?
Everybody needs to be gluten-free. Yeah, wheat, barley, rye, and oats are bad. Whole grains, go figure. Wheat, barley, rye, and oats. Oil in a bottle. That's right, everybody's favorite, olive oil. Who told you to drink olive oil? Dr. Oz, right? The cardiac surgeon who has no business telling anybody anything about medical nutrition. Fried food. I don't even want you to be downwind of
that. I agree with.
Fried food will kill you just as soon as look at you. Well-done red meat. You can have meat rare or medium rare as much as you want, but you have to avoid well-done red meat. Nitrates. Added to meat, avoid meat that has nitrates added to it. The skins of baked potatoes, yams, or sweet potatoes. If you bake a potato, a yam, or a sweet potato, you can eat the potato, but not the skin. If you boil it or crock pot it, you can eat the whole thing, including the skin. And last but not least, a carbonated beverage with a meal.
Yeah,
so, no beer with a meal, no sparkling water with a meal, no club soda, no champagne with a meal. Because that stuff reduces your stomach acid. So in a nutshell, right, those foods everybody needs to stop eating. And you need the easiest way to get these nutrients is with longevity stuff. If I were you, I would get one Healthy Body Start Pack 2.0 liquid and three bottles of selenium. And I'd do that for 90 days. I would take
why if the body,
your body every day for
Peter,
90 days.
If the body is deficient of a handful of these supplements, let's say.
Yeah.
Why is that so critical to them? Why does the body shut down when it misses or lacks just a few of them?
Well, because nutrients are referred to as essential if the body needs them in order to function, but it cannot make them, right? So, I mean, it's just envision your automobile. If there was a pinhole leak in your oil pan,
you're in trouble.
Yeah, it's only because the body, you know, the car needs the oil. Well, your body needs these essential nutrients. And if they're not there, something's going to break. And then your medical doctor, bless his heart, who has no training, no education, no experience in medical nutrition, isn't going to provide you with the nutrients you need to fix it. They're just going to manage your symptoms with drugs.
Right. He doesn't know. I know. Why don't they teach that in medical school?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, George. And you know what Max Planck said? You know, science progresses one funeral at a time.
Yeah.
Right? It's the most closed-minded system on the planet. I mean, you know, for goodness sakes, there's so much evidence about UFOs. It's not even funny. It's a done deal. UFOs exist. Aliens exist. Just everybody just get over it, and let's just all accept this right now, right? But people won't. And it's the same thing with scientists. If they're not trained in it, right, they're not going to believe
it
no matter what, and this is a problem.
Justin is in Peoria, Illinois. Welcome to the program, Justin. Go ahead, sir.
Great. Thank you for having me, guys. Great
sure
show,
thing.
Great subject. I just got a quick question for you. I'll keep it quick. I know you're short on time. I'm in the industry of electronic cigarettes, and I know this is kind of loosely associated, but we're currently under a lot of scrutiny with FDA and CDC. They're trying to find a way to come down on us, tax us and stuff. And behind all of this, not only is big tobacco losing money as we are, helping people quit smoking, but big pharma is behind it. And I know you touched on, that bad word of pharma earlier in the show. And just kind of want to get your thoughts on maybe our industry, our products, and just kind of how big pharma would be taking a big cut if a lot of these people are getting a lot less of these lung diseases and such.
Well, I mean, you've just said it. I mean, you've just posed the question and answered it at the same time. Look, you know, Jonathan Emord will tell you that the pharmaceutical industry does not have the back of the American consumer. The Food and Drug Administration does not have the back of the American consumer. The Food and Drug Administration has the back of the pharmaceutical companies. They don't work for you. They work for the pharmaceutical companies. And if you want to get a bigger heads up on that, I'd recommend one of Jim Mars's book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, is
one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Good job.
In any event, you're right that the pharmaceutical industry, the Food and Drug Administration, the tobacco industry, they're all in bed together. And they don't want people to stop smoking cigarettes. So they're going to put up roadblocks about everything. For goodness sakes, if it was up to them, you wouldn't be able to get a vitamin or a mineral supplement without a prescription by an
And they're working on that, Peter.
In a lot of countries in Europe.
Yep.
Thank God it's not like that here.
They're working on that. Let's go to Kathy in Alaska, west of the Rockies, in the couple minutes we have left. Kathy, go ahead.
Hey, we just had some whales that died off the coast of Kodiak. I think it was like 18.
Yes.
And also we've had a bunch of baby seals with lesions on their bodies, and the scientists said they can't figure out what killed the whales because they were floating in the water too long. And they're saying that the lesions on the seals are caused by sea blooms. I don't know. It sounds fishy to me.
Literally. It sounds like Fukushima to me. Go ahead, Peter.
Well, pun intended. I mean, you know, and I don't know what to speak to about that. But look, every 60 seconds in the United States, someone develops Alzheimer's. I didn't know anyone that had Alzheimer's when I was a kid. By 2050, someone in the United States will develop the disease every 30 seconds. Arthritis is out of control. Obesity is out of control. Our health is going you-know-where in a handbasket, and it's not because the medical system needs to be, you know, upregulated, massaged, or tweaked. It needs to be abandoned. Conventional medical therapeutics for chronic diseases do not work. It's a failed method. The method that does work, developed and delivered by physicians, licensed physicians, is science-based, clinically verified medical nutrition. And as fate would have it, what most people need most of the time is to give their body a fighting chance. You don't need a private consultation with a healthcare practitioner. You just need a little bit of education. You need the right supplementation and to clean up your diet. And nobody does that better than Dr. Wallach. As God is my witness, I've been doing this for 26 years. Dr. Wallach's therapeutics, you know, as propounded by those of us at Critical Health News, produce more consistent, effective results than anything I've ever seen. You need to do yourself a favor, ladies and gentlemen. Go to criticalhealthnews.com, call the phone number, educate yourself, bring yourself, you know, into the undiscovered country of science-based, clinically verified medical nutrition. Your body's ability to fix itself is greater than anybody has led you to believe.
What about hereditary events, Peter? If your family lives long, is that going to help you?
Well, no, really. A lot of the stuff that seems to be based on heredity is really based on family habits of eating and locales in which you have grown and the health or the lack thereof of the soil. Now, you know, we're of the opinion, and Wallach really was the founder of the whole science of epigenetics, which is the environmental impact on your genes and chromosomes, which is different from what you have inherited, right? So from our point of view, everybody is born into the world with strengths and weaknesses, which they have in fact inherited from their, you know, their family. But then those strengths and weaknesses are acted upon by the environment and the nutrients or lack thereof that are in the body. So one person might be deficient in calcium and get high blood pressure. Another person in the same community might be deficient in calcium and get kidney stones. Another person might be deficient in calcium and get migraine headaches.
Peter, we're going to have to do this again. We've got everybody still on hold waiting to get to you. We got to do this for a couple hours in the future. Peter Glidden, our special guest, criticalhealthnews.com. Here's that phone number, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. We have partnered up with criticalhealthnews.com. We believe what these people do. We will be back with physicist Ronald Mallett as we talk about time travel.